That was her job and how she had been programmed, to protect him at all costs, even if it extended into his love life. He did not need to be protected there. In such matters, a Faline was quite capable of taking care of himself. And in this case, it would be a pleasure to do it, too. Luke's X-Wing dropped from hyperspace in the vicinity of the planet Kotlis. The world had three small moons, was the fourth of seven planets circling the local primary, and did not appear to be swarming with Imperial Navy, at least not where Luke was. He scanned the local comm bands and picked up normal traffic, nothing alarming. R2 lay in a course for the rendezvous Milan gave us. R2 whistled his acknowledgement. Darth Vader's spies told him that Zizor had gone once again to see the Emperor. The man was involved in something dangerous to the Empire, he was certain of it. But he had to have proof before he went to the Emperor. Zizor was currently enjoying favor, and if Vader wished to stop that, he must find out exactly what the Dark Prince was up to. He must have evidence that was irrefutable. Bring one of my dueling droids, Vader said to the air. No, bring two of them. The Rebel fighter squadron bore in, a dozen Y-wings led by a single X-wing and a larger unidentified and heavily armed vessel. The target of the attack took evasive action and opened fire. The fight was furious but over quickly. The pilot of the X-Wing came in fast and crippled the freighter by killing its main engines after the larger ship had destroyed half of the attackers. I think we've seen enough, the Emperor said. The recording of the attack, taken from within the freighter and without sound, vanished. It went exactly as we planned, I see, Zizor said. They had to work a little for it. We didn't want it to seem too easy. A long silence passed before the Emperor spoke. I do hope you know what you are doing, Prince Zizor. I agreed to allow the plans for the new Death Star to fall into Rebel hands on your advice. You had best be right. Zizor said, I am, my master. Once the Rebels find out exactly what it is they have been given, their trust in me will be complete. It will be an easy matter to lure the leaders of the Alliance into your grasp. I will deliver the rebellion, and you can crush it at your pleasure. The Emperor said nothing, but Zizor heard the unspoken threat. If you are wrong, you will be most sorry. To someone watching from outside who knew even most of what Zizor knew, his position might seem precarious. As with a juggler who had half a dozen balls in the air, disaster seemed imminent. But Zizor had the skills and, more important, the will to keep the balls flying smoothly. All part of the game. And what made it so interesting? Anyone could juggle with fewer items. It took a master to do what he was doing. You sure this thing is going to work? Leia asked. Chewbacca, busy working on the door jamb with a small power wrench, said something. It sounded snide. 3PO quickly translated. He says that if it doesn't, it won't be because it was improperly installed. Leia turned and looked at Lando, who shrugged. The guy who sold it to me said it was top of the line, he said. Got the latest Dopray Magno scanner. Full-range sensor. A self-contained power supply good for a year. It better work. It cost me enough. Hardly a dent in your winnings, I would think, Leia said. Oh, it was a dent. I hope it's worth it. So do I, Leia thought. Chewie gargled something. He says it is ready for testing, 3PO said. Leia walked to the desk and sat behind it. The computer inset into the desk was off, and she switched it on. The unit is under the file Bioscan, Lando said. Leia opened the program. A hologram appeared over the desk. Non-holographic mode, she said. Flat screen only. The image vanished. She looked down at the desk. The words scanner offline appeared on the screen. It would be invisible from the chair opposite the desk. Bioscan on, she said. The screen lit up with an image of an eye, an ear, and a nose. Oh, how cute. Okay, everybody out. Let's test it. 3PO, Lando, and Chewie trooped out into the hall. Close the door. They did. Okay, Leia yelled. Lando, you come in first. The door opened and Lando sauntered in. He turned around as if modeling the latest fashion. Here I am. Enjoy. Leia grinned. He was endearing for a rogue. She looked down at the screen. The scanner, newly inset into the frame of the door, picked up Lando's image, and it appeared on the screen. An info crawl moved up the side of the image as the sensors examined Lando and fed the result to the computer. Human, male, armed with a blaster and a small vibro shiv in his pants pocket on the left side. Heartbeat, respiration, muscle tone index. Height, weight, body temperature. Even a refractive index indicating how old his skin was, plus or minus a standard year. Lando, according to this device, was a little older than he looked. No bombs or poison gas or com-active material hidden upon his person. No hidden holocams or recording devices. Seems to be working on you. Chewie, come on in. Again, the device scanned and reported. She didn't know what the normal readings for a Wookiee were, but the program that came with the scanner apparently did, and it told her that Chewie was within normal limits for one of that species. She was sure Chewie would be happy to know that. Finally, she called 3PO in. The program had no trouble at all recognizing him as a droid. Well, it seems to be working just fine, she said. Why don't we test it on you? Lando offered. I don't think that will be necessary, she said. You were plenty. Lando's comlink bleeped. He pulled it from his belt. Leia looked at him. I've got an eye at the port, he said. He lifted the comlink. Go ahead. A ship has just arrived, the tinny voice said. The Outrider, piloted by... Dash Rendar? Leia finished. What is he doing here? He's supposed to be watching Luke. Thanks, Lando said into the comlink. He shut it off. To Leia, he said, maybe we better go find out. They met Dash halfway. He was in a pub-trans cab heading away from the port. Chewie swung their rental vehicle around, and they quickly caught up with the cab and waved it over. When Dash got out, he looked terrible. Is Luke okay? Leia said in a rush. Yeah, he's fine. Why are you here? You're supposed to be guarding him. Dash stared at her. He's fine. He doesn't need my help. You don't look so good, Lando offered. Trouble? Long story, Dash said. Get into the speeder, Leia said. You can tell it to us on the way back to the casino. He got into the speeder, and they started off. When he was finished, Leia shook her head. Luke was okay, that was the important thing. And it appeared that Guri had told the truth, at least about the secret plans. Any idea what these plans are? Lando asked. No, the Bothans have some kind of hot specialists on Cothlis who are going to pull them out of the computer. His voice was almost a dead monotone. Lando said, Hey, lighten up, Dash. Things get heavy in the middle of a battle. Anybody can miss. Not me. I don't miss. I should have clipped that missile. Bothans died because I missed. You understand? Leia was silent. She didn't like Dash Rendar. He was a braggart and stuck on himself, but at least he had some feeling for others. Maybe it was more because his self-confidence had been shattered, but she could tell it had really rattled him. It must be terrible to think you are the sharpest thing in the skies, and then to find out you have a dull spot on your edge. Nobody said anything for a while. Well, as soon as this business with Black Sun was finished, they would go and find Luke. Somehow, it would all get sorted out. Luke left R2 to watch the X-Wing and made his way to the lounge where he was supposed to meet Koth Meelan. The Bothan was waiting. Any problems? Meelan asked. No, now what? We have a safe house here, a few kilometers away, on the outskirts of the city. The computer is already there and the team working on it. We'll go there and wait until they are done. How long will it take? Meelan shrugged. Who can say? Hours, perhaps, if we are fortunate. Days, if not. The team is very good and won't take any chances. After what we paid for it, it would be terrible to slip up and lose the information. Yeah, it would. I have a speeder waiting outside. Lead on, Luke said. Outside, the daytime air had a funny smell. It took Luke a moment to place it. The odor was of warm and moldy cheese. He smiled to himself. He knew he would get used to it pretty quick and tune it out. That was something they almost never mentioned in the travel ads, that every planet had its own smells and feel. The light was a little redder here than on Tatooine. It was a little cooler than Bathawi. And there was that smell. The thing about alien worlds, well, alien to somebody not born there, was that each one was unique. Moldy cheese wasn't so bad. He'd smelled worse. They walked to Meelan's speeder and got in. Time to go find out what the Empire thought was so valuable. 21. The safe house was a clever setup, Luke saw. What looked like a row of old storage units and run-down office space in an industrial park turned out to be something else behind the facade. Past the security checkpoint with a trio of large armed guards was a modern complex of interconnected units, bright and gleaming with the latest computer and electronic gear, plus a bunch of technicians to operate it. Most of them were Bothans, but there were several other aliens at work. It was a smart camouflage. From outside, you'd never expect to find all this. This way, Meelan said. Luke followed the Bothan spymaster down a gleaming corridor to a room with yet another armed guard posted at the door. Meelan showed an ID, and they were admitted. Inside the room were half a dozen Bothan techs. One of them tended leads plugged into jacks in the computer Meelan had collected. Others sat at consoles tapping keyboards or using Voxax controls. Information danced in the air as holographic images formed and reformed. There's not much to see, I'm afraid, Meelan said. Unless you're an expert in this, the information looks to be pretty much a jumble of numbers and letters. Luke nodded. What do they mean? He waved at one of the screens. Got me, Meelan said. I'm a spymaster. What I know about programming, you could inscribe on a microdiode lead with a dull sword. Luke smiled. Hey, one of the Bothan techs said. Look at this, boys. Scan sector Tarp Hard Xenon. Luke heard the tap of keys, the commands of Voxaxes. Wow, said one of the other techs. Oh, sister, said another. I can't believe it. What? Luke said. What is it? Before anybody could say, the door exploded inward and somebody came in shooting. Leia smiled at Guri, who was once again seated across from where she herself sat at the desk in their suite. But the smile was to cover her puzzlement. According to the computer screen inset into the desk and the scanner that fed it, Guri was not human. What she was, the scanner program could not say. Care for some refreshment? Leia asked. Tea would be fine. Threepio, fix two cups of the special tea blend, would you please? Leia turned back from the droid and flashed her smile at Guri again. She caught the computer screen peripherally as she glanced at Black Sun's representative. According to the scanner, Guri's skin was around 10 standard years old. Wasn't that interesting? I trust your business went well. It did. It would be no trouble to keep her talking for a few minutes until the special blend tea Threepio was preparing did its job. The sleeping potion he was instilling into Guri's cup would put her out harmlessly for a couple of hours, during which time Leia and the others could make a closer examination of Guri's person and effects. This was the plan they'd agreed upon if the scan didn't check out the way it should. After a couple of hours, Guri would awaken and, if the potion worked as it was supposed to work, not remember having fallen asleep. Maybe they could figure out who and what she was during that time. At least Leia's instincts had been right. There was something odd about Guri, very odd. Threepio brought the tea. Leia hoped the droid had gotten the stuff into the right cup. It would be embarrassing if Lando or Chewie had to come in and take over while she took a nap. Threepio had his back to Guri. Leia glanced at him. His left eye illuminator winked off, then back on. Leia picked up her tea and smiled again. When a man comes at you with a blaster spewing, you don't stand there asking stupid questions. Luke snatched his lightsaber from his belt, lit it, and whipped it up in a right inward block as he slid to the side. A blaster bolt splashed from the blade in a shower of red and orange sparks. The air stank suddenly of ozone. The techs were unarmed, and Luke saw two of them take hits and go down. The other scrambled for cover. Coast Meelan produced a small weapon and returned fire, hitting the lead attacker right between the eyes. The attacker fell backward. There were more behind him, boiling through the shattered doorway. Luke leaped forward, circled his lightsaber into a horizontal slash, and took down the next man through the door. Meelan fired. The bolt sizzled past Luke's left ear and hit the third man incoming. Beyond that, Luke saw, there were at least a dozen more shooters crowding toward the doorway, maybe more. It wasn't as if he had time to do a precise count here. More energy beams cooked the air, scorching past Luke and spearing computer consoles and technicians alike. "Too many of them," Meelan yelled. "This way." Luke wove a curtain of hard light with his blade, deflecting blaster bolts and driving the attackers back temporarily. He leaped to the side, and Meelan fired repeatedly into the opening, momentarily clearing it. "Come on." Luke turned and ran. Discretion here was definitely the better part of valor. Who were these guys? They wore black but didn't have any insignia he could see. Some kind of new Imperial strike team? Mercenaries? "Never mind that now. Worry about who they are later. This party is over, Luke. It is time to leave." Luke hurried after Meelan. After 20 minutes of small talk, Leia realized the sleeping potion wasn't going to work. It was supposed to take 5 minutes, 8 minutes at the outside, if you had the constitution of a rock. Gori continued their diplomatic back and forth without any apparent effects from the powerful potion. Maybe 3PO had fouled up somehow, not put the stuff into Gori's cup. The computer was still processing information and displaying it for Leia. The person sitting across from her breathed air, and her heart pumped blood, but the lungs weren't normal, and neither was the heart. The muscles under the supposedly 10-year-old skin weren't made of any tissue the scanner could recognize. Her body temperature was 10% cooler than normal. A human that cold would be dead.